Well, say, that's a pretty good prayer. Would you agree? Make me a blessing. I titled my sermon today. I don't know if it's in the bulletin or not, but it's a catchphrase. To be blessed or not to be blessed? That's the question. I will tell you that this morning I have been blessed because I labored pretty hard this week trying to put this sermon together. And in my humanness, I feel as though I fall short. But as is God's custom, he has already revealed the 3 points of my sermon. Obedience, joy, and one other thing that Ruth said. But I just love being able to see God's hand move when I'm feeling insecure. He's like, no, James, I've got this. So someone here is not here by accident. This message is for you, whoever it may be. Maybe it's for me. But my prayer is going to be that we be marked. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you continue to reveal yourself in the most magnificent ways when we're attentive, when we're listening for your still small voice, when we purpose to pray to you, when we purpose to set time apart to hear from you in your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us now, that our spirits would be attentive to your spirit, and that your spirit would move in a mighty and powerful way. We give you the praise for this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So, no matter what stage you find yourself in this life today, whether you're old or young, I'm sure you have come to understand that it is to your benefit to follow the instructions placed before you in order to be successful in whatever task is before you, whether it's assembling a bicycle Christmas Eve, or trying to learn to drive, or studying all you can know to be successful in school or at work. You always have rules and directions to follow and to listen, obey. They're there for a reason. And I'm sure now you have found it best, following the instructions, the best way to be happy and safe as you work your way through this thing we call life. Yes? How many of you are following the instruction in this book? I know I fall short there viciously. Though we do at least once a week get into it, and hopefully purpose to spend time throughout the week. Sometimes the world we live in, the instructions we get are not always the best to follow. I've been there. When we were in ministry, I'd stop at a gas station and ask for directions, and the loving person that would try to instill valuable information to me would give directions. I'm facing this way, she's facing this way, and of course, she's giving directions based on the way she's standing. And you know, it's amazing that wrong directions can actually work out. She's like, well, you go out the driveway and you go a half mile and you'll see a turkey hill. Turn left, which she really meant turn right. You'll go another half a mile and there'll be another turkey. And it's amazing how God gets us to our destination based on the information we sometimes get. It's amazing. There's a little story that I want to share. It's kind of tacky, but it'll illustrate this point pretty well. There was a young man learning to be a paratrooper. Before his first jump, he was given 4 instructions. When you're told to jump, jump. Count to 10, pull the ripcord, your shoulder will open. If it doesn't, 3, pull the emergency cord, and then there'll be a truck on the ground to take you back to base. Well, this young soldier memorized the instructions and boarded the plane. The plane climbed to the prescribed 10,000 feet, and the paratroopers formed a line, and this man was told to jump, and he did. He counted to the 10. He pulled the ripcord, and nothing happened. So he followed the instructions. He pulled the emergency ripcord, and still nothing happened. And at that point, he promptly said, oh, great, I have no hope. That truck probably isn't down there to pick me up and take me back to the base. Have you ever had one of those days? And when you're just beaten down, carrying so many hurts and disappointments. You just don't expect anything to go right for you. And the old adage that says, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Have you ever been there? Do you ever notice that there are some people that just seem to skate through life? They are successful at everything they do. It just seems to be right before them at every turn. I've experienced this to the point of thinking it's unfair. I mean, when I grew up and I was learning to drive, I had different influences in my life that instilled ways that I would drive when I drove, which weren't necessarily good. It seems that every time I left my parents' driveway, the police knew I was in the car. I don't know how this works. Now, I'm sure that the influences in my life at the time had nothing to do with the predicaments I found myself in, like the TV shows I watched and the people I chose to hang out with and the way I chose to dress had nothing to do with the fact that when I sat behind the wheel of the car, there were police lights blazing behind me. I don't know. Our son, on the other hand, when he began to drive and had interaction with the police, which he did on more than one occasion, got off scot-free. That kind of made me say, why? I was a little jealous. But his influences as a child and his upbringing were different than mine. I mean, I had influences, Adam had influences, I had said last week, of Children's Sunshine Network. That's a Christian broadcast station. It was on 24/7 in his bedroom. If he was grounded, that was a bad thing. He also was bathed with the Adventures in Odyssey. I don't know if you've ever heard them, but at 26, 7, 8, 9, and now almost 30, he still listens to Adventures in Odyssey, and he's going to enjoy it as his children grow. And he also spent time growing up with VeggieTales. And you know what? Some pickles and tomatoes do have good Christian sound doctrine to share with kids. So me, on the other hand, I grew up with the Dukes of Hazzard. So you can imagine how I drove, and I will tell you, the wheels were off the ground more than they were on, because that's how you drive Chargers. I also watched, like, Nash Bridges and the Rockford Files, where, you know, the Camaro does 180s and 360s. That's just how you drive. And, of course, Burt Reynolds and Smokey and the Bandit, and, you know, blatant disrespect is what I was taught as a child when you drive a car. So how is it that someone can get through this life successful? All that to say, turn to Psalm 1. That's in the middle of your Bible. If you just hold the Bible and rest the spine in its hand, you overlook. I'm at Psalm 105. So right in the middle of your Bible, you'll hit Psalm 1. I'm going to read the first three verses. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This psalm is describing a follower of Christ. Do you associate with this? Follower of Christ. What does it take to be a person who always lands on their feet? Unlike the paratrooper in the story I began with, it takes genuine hope. And the only genuine hope you're going to find on this planet is in Christ. We want us all to live a good life, don't we? And this passage is offering the outline to be successful for Jesus Christ. When we follow Jesus Christ, he sets us apart. Following Christ is reliable. It gives us a life that is very different from what the world would view as the good life. In Psalm 1, we're told that God will bless those who do not walk in the council of the wicked, which represents the world. These people truly love God and they pursue a relationship with his son. That's you and me, right? Hot pursuit. Teach me more, Jesus. Isn't that your prayer? I hope so. These people do their best to live within God's law and his direction, which have been given to us. They're set in place and they work. It's good counsel. They keep Christ in the center of their life. That's who this psalm is speaking to. This type of thought process is contrary to the way humans normally think. So many in the world try to find fulfillment in things of the world. So walk in their own strength, in their own ability, and make things happen. And that can work for a time. But when we're following Christ, they're successful always. In the world we live today, to have a good time means you go out and you enjoy yourself. It's all about me. Not so much enjoy God. This is like my favorite day on the planet. I don't know who I was talking to earlier, but I know I said, you know, I'm in Shillington. And I love coming out here. It's silent. We have fire trucks, police sirens, cars without radios, dogs barking. And this is like God's sanctuary. I live for here. My wife's saying motorcycles and cars with loud exhausts. It's horrible. And they're all paybacks to me. But anyway, I enjoy being here with God. And I hope you do too. But do you see where the focus is by the world standard? The focus is turned from God and placed on self. It's all about me. I just want one more. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. It's all about me. Throughout the Bible, God gives us the key to unlocking his blessing. It's like this. Open the cover. That's the key. I want to focus on Psalm 112, verse 1. Listen, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. You need to realize that God is the source of all blessings. And he has a plan already set in place for you to be successful. What would you have me do this day, Lord, is a great way to start your day. You also need to come to understand that the choice to be blessed is ours. My notes say yours, but that sounds a little pointed. But we need to choose to be blessed. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 19, we read this. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in the heavens so that you have to ask, who will ascend to the heavens to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away and blown down, and bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live among the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven, the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you this life, set before you life and death. Blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good, yummy stuff. Too much to listen to in a short time. Read that for yourself. Let me get your reference. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 19. God tells us in the scripture that he has called heaven and earth as witnesses to set two choices before us. Blessings and curses. In other words, life and death. If we choose life, we'll be blessed and we will live. So we have a choice. Do we want to be blessed and live, or do we want to be cursed and die? Of course we want to be blessed. There isn't a person on this planet that would choose, I want to be blessed and die. Nobody. I believe that's true. And because it's true, I have to ask then, why aren't more people living blessed lives? I'll tell you. Because you have to choose to. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. Walk in these ways. Don't go to the right or to the left. I go before you. I have a plan for you to prosper you, give you hope and a future. God's promises in the book. Look, the choice is yours. God can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Your parents can't do it for you. You don't get to just sit idly by and think, I'm going to be blessed. You can't say, well, I haven't made up my mind about God or about that command. I'll make it up. That decision will come later after I live my life. Not choosing life and the blessings it holds is the same as choosing death and the curses attached to it. The choice is ours. The truth is, if you haven't chosen life in Christ, you haven't been experiencing the fullness of the blessing God has promised you. So how do you choose life and receive God's blessing? I don't know. You choose by making a conscious decision to honor God with your life and obey his commands. There's 10 of them, but that's not the commands we're talking about. There's more than 100 commands just in the Old Testament. And I'm not sure that everybody here knows all 10 of those simple ones that are written on stone that Moses carried down from Mount Sinai. Oh, we know the stories, but do we know the information? And then are we applying it to our life? Well, you choose to own Psalm 112:1. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. This is the key to unlocking the blessings of God in your life. And there's no doubt that it can be confusing when so much of Scripture says, fear not. 365 times throughout the Bible, fear not, fear not. And here in this psalm it says something. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. But in Psalm 112, God promises that he'll bless you when you revere him. When you worship him, when you obey him, he doesn't want you quaking in fear through interacting with him. Why is it we don't pray to him? Well, I'm afraid what people think. I'm afraid he might answer what I ask. I am so glad that God doesn't answer my prayers the way I sometimes pray. Because he knows far better than I that if I got what I think I want would be a bad thing. He simply wants you to recognize who he is, your heavenly Father, the one we get to talk to through prayer, the one we get to listen to through reading his word. The whole purpose of God's command is to get us to a place in life where we can receive His blessings. In the same way parents give their children instruction to prevent them from getting hurt, look both ways before you cross the street. When you don't know any better, God gives us instructions to keep us from getting hurt as we go through life. Back in Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Whose delight is in the law of the Lord? And who meditates on His law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever they do prospers." Last week I talked about a tree that didn't grow more than a foot tall in 5 years, because for the first 5 years of its life, it put all its strength in digging roots deep into the ground. When we speak of a tree that grows beside water, we think of a tree that's always getting that life-giving nutrients because it's so close to the water. I want to be so close to Jesus that He permeates me. When we do our best to walk in a Christ-like manner, we're always close to the living water. That's Jesus. And we're always close to the living water, taking in the nutrients. They're God's attributes that He makes us grow through and become more like Him. When we decide to follow Jesus, we become like trees planted by life-giving streams. We're never without God's strength. He'll get us through this life, no matter what this world throws at us. Listen to the counsel of Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, once more. Should be familiar by now, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." This passage is telling us that we're blessed if we don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's to say, don't depend on the world for advice. What do you think I should do? And let people tell you what you think will feel good. Do not stand in the way of sinners. That means don't depend on the world for acceptance. Oh, he doesn't do that, so we're not going to hang out. Do not sit in the seat of mockers. It is to our benefit not to go along with whatever the world suggests. This progression from walking to standing to sitting reminds us that the first step, or 1,000 steps away from Christ-centered thinking, will rob us of blessing and joy. Will rob us of the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. Oh boy, I need help with that one. Every second of every day, I need help with that one. The truth is, we cannot be in two places at one time. We can be in the world, or we can be in Christ. We cannot do both. It's a decision that each of us must make for ourselves. My hope is that you'll choose wisely. Allow Him to take control of your whole life today. Let this last hymn be your prayer. Cry out to God. Allow Him to go before you. You'll see Him moving, and you will be blessed. And because of that, you'll be a blessing to others. Check it out. It's really cool. Father, I thank you for your word, that we have opportunity to hide it in our heart. And we thank you for these just a few small passages, that we are blessed because of you. that in you there is life. And I pray that we would live this life to the fullest, not just today for an hour, but every day of the week until you come again. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.